Good morning again. We've just sung that that beautiful Christmas carol, O Come Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is a word that means God with us. And that was a name that was given to Jesus way back in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before he came, that he would be God with us. Now, most of us are pretty familiar with, we've just read the main part of it, how Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph on their travelling. There was no room at the inn. They stayed at the stable, which sounds cute, but it obviously would have been pretty smelly and pretty dirty and uncomfortable, and baby Jesus was born. Most of us are reasonably familiar with how he was born. I'd like to spend a few minutes this morning investigating why Jesus was born. He obviously wasn't a normal baby. There's something different about him. The very fact that our calendar is based on the day he was born, there's something different about this baby, and I want to look at that this morning. There's a lot of words we use at Christmas time. We see them on Christmas cards, we send them around the place, okay, we see them on Christmas messages. Words like gift, forgiveness, joy, hope, and that all summarises the main word we see at Christmas time, and that's love. And later on in a few moments, I'd like to look at parts of the Bible about Jesus using those words of gift, forgiveness, joy, and hope. And those words bring up feelings of, you know, comfort and peace and encouragement and love, okay? And they're good words, and they are the apt and correct words to describe the beautiful gift that we have at Christmas time. Now, I'm in the Air Force, and more than a few years ago when I was in the Air Force, I did an aviation safety officer course. And in that course, we learned a technique to investigate the facts or the truth behind it. If an important incident or event had occurred, we learned a technique to investigate the facts or truth behind that. And the technique was simply look at the exact moment that this event occurred, talk to eyewitnesses, get eyewitnesses' accounts, so establish the facts of what occurred, then go backwards in time, looking at key events and facts that had happened leading up to that event. And then once you've done that, then go forward from that event, looking at key things that have happened after that event, follow-on effects from that event. And using that sort of technique, I'd like to look at the importance of this day we celebrate today and the meaning of why Jesus came. So the first sort of thing I want to look at is the day that Jesus was born, or when Jesus was born, the response to the birth of baby Jesus. How did different people respond to the birth of this baby? Who were the eyewitnesses who were there? And because we're looking at the truth or the facts, I don't want you to hear my personal take on what I think Christmas is about, or my feelings or emotions about Christmas. Because we're investigating the truth, we want to look at facts. So today, I'm literally just going to bring up a bunch of Bible verses that bring out the facts about why this baby came. Okay? So that's the facts we want to look at this morning. So let's look at these eyewitnesses. The first eyewitness I want to look at, the response, is the angels. How did they respond? And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." How did the angels respond? With praise. They glorified God. They promised a baby that's going to bring peace. The next eyewitnesses I'd like to look at is the shepherds. How did the shepherds respond to the birth of this baby? And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Again, the shepherds are glorifying, they're praising God, as it had just been told to them by the angels. They went and saw and eyewitnesses of the accounts, and that was their response to this baby. This is not an ordinary baby. The next eyewitnesses I'd like to look at is the wise men. What was their response to the baby Jesus? Now, the wise men, it's not quite like the nativity scene. They didn't witness Jesus the night he was born. From the book of Matthew in the Bible, we know he was probably less than 2 years old, but more than about 6 months of old age. He was back at his own hometown in his home. And the wise men, this was their response when they witnessed this baby. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So these are wise men. They're very important people, VIPs. And how do they respond to a baby? They fall down in awe and they worship God for this baby, these wise men. They gave gifts of gold, which signifies royalty as a king. They gave gifts of frankincense, which was the only incense permitted in the Old Testament temple, signifying that this baby is a priest, a high priest. So these wise men are acknowledging this baby is a king and a high priest. But not everyone loved the baby Jesus. Not everyone wants to glorify and praise God for the birth of this baby. Just like some people reject the adult Jesus, some people rejected the baby Jesus at the time. Let's look at King Herod's response to this baby. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the baby to destroy him." Who wants to destroy a baby? Who'd want to kill a baby? Why would King Herod be threatened by a baby? King Herod, rightly, knows that this baby is a king and he's threatened by a king. But King Herod's response is to reject the kingship of this baby. So we've investigated four eyewitnesses' accounts to the birth of Jesus, what happened at the time he was born. Now let's go back in time and look at the facts from the Bible leading up to this birth. So let's just go back a few months when Mary and Joseph were expecting this child. And let's look at the angel's response or the angel's conversation with Mary and Joseph. But the important thing I want you to understand as we go back in time before Jesus' birth is that Jesus fulfills prophecy. His arrival and coming was prophesied in the Old Testament. The Bible, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, is one unifying story about Jesus. In fact, Jesus was promised, the baby was promised way back in the start of Genesis. But right now, let's just go back a few months before Jesus was born. Let's look at the angel's appearance to Mary. "And behold, you will conceive, and in your womb, and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." His name will be Jesus, Mary is told. The name Jesus means God saves, or the Lord is salvation. He will be the Son of God. This baby, Mary is told, will be on a throne, and not just a king, but a king over the throne of David, the whole of Israel, but a king forever, and his kingdom will have no end, Mary is told. Wow. Talk about a lot of expectations on a child that's not even born yet. Now let's look at what the angels said to Joseph before Jesus was born. "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Joseph is told that this baby is not just from God, but this baby is of God. He's begotten of God. This baby is God. Joseph is told that this child will save people from their sins. The angel is telling Joseph that this baby will save people from their sins, that this baby will be the Messiah, the chosen one, or that New Testament word meaning the same thing, Christ, the anointed or chosen one of God. He is God. This is the promised Messiah who was promised from the beginnings of the Old Testament. This baby will fulfill that prophecy. If you're not sure about Christianity or that really large book, the Bible, if you ever want to know a one-line mission statement of what Jesus is about, this is effectively a one-line mission statement that the angel tells Joseph: to save people from their sin. That's a one-line. I know we've got short TikTok sort of memory spans. If you want a one-line mission statement of Jesus: to save people from their sins. And that his name will be Emmanuel. That last line there that the angel quotes is exactly from the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. The angel is quoting the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah was a prophet who prophesied to the kings of Judah 750 years before Jesus was even born. And that's what Isaiah said then, 750 years before. So let's now go back in time a bit further to find out another truth about this child. Let's go back to Isaiah, 750 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah wrote, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." Isaiah is promising a time of a light that will come and expose darkness, because light cannot exist with darkness. Lightness kills darkness. It's a picture of truth that was hidden being revealed, a picture of evil being defeated by good, a picture of death turning to life. But what or who is this light that Isaiah talks about? What or who is the light that's going to defeat this darkness? It's only three sentences or three verses on past that. Then Isaiah says this, and for those of you who know that classic Handel's Messiah carol, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Sorry. The light that defeats this darkness will be a child, for unto us a child is born. This child will be a wonderful counselor. He will be mighty God, and he'll be Prince of Peace. Now, peace is a word we hear a lot about at Christmas time, and there's a reason for that, because Jesus is the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, and his throne will have no end, and it will be a throne of justice and a throne of righteousness. So what the angels told Mary and Joseph checks out with what was prophesied 750 years beforehand. But what does Isaiah promise and prophesize about this light, about this child, for when this child is growing up? What's this child going to achieve when he's an adult? Isaiah again tells us, 750 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. No babas. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Isaiah prophesies that this child would grow to be a man who would be led like a lamb to the slaughter, and he would humbly go to his death to take away the sin of the world. This is everything that was prophesied or promised about this child hundreds of years before Jesus was born. So now we go back. Jesus is born, so what? Talk is cheap, right? Did Jesus fulfill these prophecies? Did Jesus fulfill what was written about him before he came? We need to consider the grown-up Jesus. Okay? A lot of time at Christmas time, we like to think of Jesus as a baby in a manger. And we picture that, and it brings us comfort and peace. Because we love looking at little cute babies in a manger. Because babies are cute. Babies are cuddly. Babies are fragile. Babies are helpless. And babies are unthreatening. But babies grow up. Just like I don't consider my eldest baby as a little baby in a cot. I think of a 24-year-old tradie in Brisbane. We got to consider babies when they grow up. We got to consider the grown-up Jesus. Okay, did he fulfill what was written about him? Let's look at those words we talked about earlier, those joyous and good words at Christmas time. Gift, forgiveness, joy and hope. They're loving words, they're kind words, they're encouraging words, and they're there for a reason. And those words are used in the Bible a lot about Jesus. So let's go through and look at some of those words now. Gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth after Jesus had died and rose again. Indescribable gift, the greatest gift of all. But what was this gift? What is this gift? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The important thing to notice about this, it's written right there, a gift is free. All gifts are free. That's the whole point of a gift. And we can't, Jesus is a gift. We can't earn the gift. We can't buy the gift. We don't deserve the gift. And what is the gift that's promised here? It's a gift of eternal life. Remember, darkness to light, death to life. Jesus is a gift of eternal life. And how do we get the gift? Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christ Jesus, that lamb that was led to the slaughter humbly, Jesus fulfills what was written about him hundreds of years before he was born. But this is a verse of two halves, of darkness, of light, of death and life. It tells us what the first half is. It's death. And how we dead, it tells us we're dead in our sin. That's just our inherent nature to rebel against God. We're just born that way. It's a statement of fact. We all inherently want to rebel against God. And why are we dead? Because it's our wages. That's what we deserve. We work hard for our wages. We get upset if we don't get paid our wages. We want our wages. It would be unjust if we didn't get our wages. Our wages is death. However, the beautiful free gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is Jesus' own words. Forgiveness. Jesus fulfills his mission statement. So the free gift is Jesus. How do we take hold of this gift? How do we unwrap it? The whole point of a gift is to open it. You can't open a gift if you don't accept it. If you accept the gift and go thank you and leave it wrapped up and put it aside and never unwrap it, then you can't enjoy and take that gift. So how do we unwrap and accept this gift of Jesus? Jesus himself tells us in his own words, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Death to life. In Jesus' own words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Joy. That's why joy is such a good word at Christmas time, and it's a fitting word. We can be full of joy, that beautiful gift we don't deserve. "And the angel said to him, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" "You believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Hope. "According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He is our eternal hope, joy, hope. So, to summarize, to wrap this up, a baby is born. So what? Jesus passed from life to death, so that we can pass from death to life. And that's the most beautiful gift that anyone can ever receive. And it's a free gift available to all of us. It's a gift of forgiveness through repentance. And that's a reason for great joy and hope. And that's the joy and hope we celebrate here at Christmas. And I want you to stand up now and to sing that joy as we sing our last song, "Joy to the World."